Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Davos dynamited. American hero brings down Nimrod's tower in Europe, while Republican rhinos and demented Democrats work to preserve as much of it as they can here in the good old U.S. of A. They have begun an open but feeble attack on the churches. They're scrambling to preserve their only means of holding power, election theft. But the SAVE Act was passed anyway. Trump got Greenland, and he got it for free. Okay, I'll explain. Putin has gotten very small. Xi is in frantic mode. Trump will build resorts in Gaza. The Board of Peace was formed. Even Putin is in. He pledged $1 billion to support Trump's plan for Gaza. The globalist plan to subjugate the people of the world through their lab-created diseases and vaccines in a bid to force worldwide population control and to put the people in their cages has failed. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Davos dynamited. American hero brings down Nimrod's tower in Europe while Republican rhinos and demented Democrats work to rebuild it here. After a glowing report by Trump on the progress he has made in making America great again, and as Trump said, that's good news for everybody in the world. For, quote, when America booms, the entire world booms, and when America goes bad, you all follow us down and you follow us up, end quote. And he said that right out loud in front of God and everybody. This is what God promised would happen to those nations who bless Abraham. God tied his blessing and his cursing upon nations to Abraham. Thus saith the Lord, quote, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12. To clarify, at the cross, God removed what separated the Jews and the Gentiles. The unbelieving Jews were cut off from the olive tree, representing Abraham's promised nation, and the believing Gentiles were grafted in. Romans 11, 17 to 21. The people of God today include all who correctly answer the question Jesus puts to all mankind. Whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? The answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter got it right. All who confess Jesus as Lord, believe he arose from the dead, and call on his name to be saved, are now counted among Abraham's children today. You ever read that bit in Galatians 3:7? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Anyway, after Trump gave a progress report on his MAGA agenda, he picked up John Henry's hammer and started driving steel stakes into the base of the latest effort of the globalists to subjugate humanity under the tyrannical power of the man of sin. It's the ancient spirit of Nimrod. It's the spirit of Antichrist, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And they work to pull the kingdoms of this world back under the power of Satan. Read Matthew 4 and Luke 4. Think about it. This spirit rages against the spirit of Christ. It's the opposite. The spirit that animates the children of disobedience is the spirit of lies and tyranny. Whereas Jesus' spirit, well, his is the spirit of truth. And as Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. And wherever you find the Spirit of the Lord, you find liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. And he founded his church, the Ecclesia, or the ecclesia in the earth, which he declared was the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15, and gave to them the keys of the kingdom, giving his ecclesia authority to bind and loose, Matthew 16:16-19. The church is commissioned to wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:12-21. This is why the spirit of Antichrist moves the lawless children of disobedience to attack Christ's church and his word. Christ's church prayed and fasted and appointed spiritual assault prayer teams to target specific satanic strongholds that were set in place in America during the church's slumber in spiritual apathy. And using the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, that is to say, not physical, we began pulling them down, 2 Corinthians 10:4. And God has raised up a champion of religious liberty and justice and is willing to use the sword of judgment, Romans 13:1-6, to restore justice and protect liberty. And he has, like John Henry, taken the railroad spikes and driven them deep into the foundations of Nimrod's tower. And it's crumbling before our eyes. Trump, prophet-like, cried upon once Christian Europe. He spoke of some of his friends who lately traveled in Europe and said, "I don't recognize it." And he clarified, they didn't mean this in a positive way, but in a very negative way. You can see the transcript of his entire speech here, linked in my notes. Like the mighty John Henry, Trump swung the great hammer of truth at the steel spike again. I love Europe, and I want to see Europe do good, but it's not heading in the right direction. He drove this spike into the heart of the matter. Quote, in recent decades, it became conventional wisdom in Washington and European capitals that to grow a modern Western economy was through ever-increasing government spending, unchecked mass migration, and endless foreign wars, end quote. Boom. Yeah. Trump said some places in Europe, like London, are, quote, not even recognizable, end quote, because they are, quote, propped up by importing new and entirely different populations from faraway lands, end quote, people who have invaded our once Christian nations and have set about to transform them into the mess that they left. Hotbeds of Antichrist, anti-liberty ideologies, corrupting our countries and threatening to steal from once Christian lands the liberty Christ provided to them, invading them with ideologies inconsistent with freedom because they are inconsistent with truth. Trump spoke of the idiocy of following the Green New Scam, virtually selling themselves into slavery to China. He chastised the foolish notion that they would put themselves into dependency upon an atheistic regime that hates truth and liberty, the dragon of China and the hungry, ranging bear of Russia, now have been driven back. The people sent their champion to declare what anyone can see who has eyes. The fate that the radical left tried to impose on America is on display in Europe. The foolishness of using China's windmills when not even China is so stupid as to use them. He said European leaders are stupid for submitting to a devilish plot to surrender the sovereignty to China. He exposed the foolishness of European leaders who hypocritically rage against Russia invading Ukraine while they fund that invasion by their continued dependency and purchase of Russian oil. He slapped these leaders with a glove of truth and dropped it as a gauntlet to be picked up. Many woke up blinking in the bright light of his logic and brutal honesty. And in the spiritual realm, while this is going on, the Antichrist tower is shaking, pummeled. And that tower began to crack and the stones began to crumble. Trump took the mythical hammer of John Henry to the synthetic brick and slime of Nimrod's tower. It's crumbling. Their plans for a new world order are in demolition mode. Jim Ferguson summarized it well. Globalism just died in Davos. Howard Lutnick walked into the lion's den, he said, and told the World Economic Forum exactly what they didn't want to hear. Globalism has failed, and Trump declared its demise on its own stage, on its own platform, at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Trump dismantled the entire World Economic Forum doctrine in minutes. Offshoring hollowed out the West. Cheap labor destroyed innovation. Net zero made Europe dependent on China. Sovereignty begins with borders. Nations must control their industry, energy, and medicine, or forfeit their sovereignty and betray their people to the rule of tyrants. And then came the line that shook the room, said Ferguson. Why would Europe agree to net zero when they don't even make a battery? Moral posturing while outsourcing power to Beijing? Bad idea. America first isn't isolation, it's independence. Lutnick made it crystal clear. The old model is finished. The globalist experiment has failed. The future belongs to nations that put their people first. Davos just heard its own obituary read from the podium of the World Economic Forum. Well said, Ferguson. Okay, my friend, it's time for a short break. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real.
Masks don't protect against viral infection. In fact, they make matters worse, and they signal surrender of your bodily autonomy to the government. If you insist on wearing one, make sure it's white, because you're raising the white flag of surrender to oppression. Does the Bible support a government mask mandate? Government did not create our body, and it does not have the authority to regulate our right to breathe. They say follow the science, but scientists disagree about public masking. The Bible speaks of science falsely, so-called. We should indeed follow true science. This book examines mask mandates from science and the Bible. 964 scientific articles examined. Zero support for masks, and scriptures make it clear. Government authority is limited. It doesn't have the right to interfere with our natural right to decide medical interventions or inalienable rights God has endowed to every human being. Science says the masks don't work. The scripture says government has no authority to interfere with your right to breathe. Yet, let my people breathe. Unmasking the mask controversy with science and the scripture is also available at BarnesandNoble.com, Walmart.com, Amazon, and elsewhere.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. For anyone curious about my use of John Henry as a metaphor for Trump taking down Nimrod's tower, tune in Saturday night. That's January 24, 2026, during Brain Massage Live, episode number 1034. Trump declared the dismantling of Nimrod's modern effort to build his tower. Read Genesis 10 and 11 for the backstory. Briefly, Nimrod was the first man on this planet who would be king and set himself against God and began the kingdom of Babel, which became Babylon. It was the first effort to establish a one-world government under a man of sin, a man who would lead the people against the only true king, our Creator. The people discovered synthetics. Yeah, they used brick for stone and slime for mortar, Genesis 11:3. Now, these are synthetic alternatives to stone and clay-based mortar. Isn't that interesting? In their vanity, King Nimrod inspired them to build a tower with these synthetic materials that would reach unto heaven, Genesis 4:11. God declared if he did not intervene, nothing would be beyond these wicked people. So he stepped in, destroyed their tower, confused their tongues, and scattered them all over the earth. Well, they went everywhere setting up little kingdoms in the fashion of Babylon or Nimrod, and thus began the kingdoms of men. From that time until now, Satan, who was the inspiration behind Nimrod's scheme, has attempted to revive that work, to bring mankind under his power through a globalist agenda. And every time he almost succeeds, God intervenes, scattering his power. The modern effort at creating a one-world government ruled by a leader who hates God was inspired in the heart of Karl Marx, who hated God and spawned the evil of communism, a.k.a. Marxist socialism, and the result has been over 65 to what, 90 million people killed. Communism advances on the graves of God's people. Check out a famous catalog of the brutality and tyranny of communism in the Black Book of Communism. And of course, the communists dispute it, they hate it, but the record supports it. America has been in the way of communists right along since her inception, and the wicked know that the power of America has been and continues to be in its Christian roots. As America falls away from her Christian roots, she begins slipping into tyranny, and the tower begins to form, and the builders of the globalist begin to build, until finally Christians begin to waken from their slumber, and they stir themselves back toward truth, and that makes us free, and the spirit of truth begins to stir, and liberty is restored, because where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's the cycle that has repeated several times in history. America is turning back toward her roots and blessing rather than cursing the children of Abraham. The tower of despotism rises or falls on this question, whether a nation blesses or curses Abraham and his seed, which is Christ. Now, you'll have to hear the first segment to understand that properly, but let's pick it up from where we left off. We are in a tower demolition cycle. Don't blow it. Turn to Christ. It is not a mistake that the 2024 election was subtly focused on the question, who is king, right there toward the end, the government or Christ? Right now, in a counterattack from the Nimrodians, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, is in a panic and clumsily stirred up his agents here in St. Paul, Minnesota, to shore up his gains in the United States in an attempt to preserve what he can of his tower. The gremlins of hell, frantically, clumsily, I think, are striving to gather up bits and pieces of the crumbling tower in a feverish attempt to reconstruct it here in America, or to hold what gains they've got here. And so they take aim at the church. That's understandable. A lawless anti-ICE mob led by Nakima Levy Armstrong and Chantel Lewis, Louisa Allen and William Kelly, doesn't he have a middle name? assaulted the peaceful assembly of Christians in City's Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. Well, they've watched their attack fizzle like a snipped fuse. Arrests have begun, and these three leaders of that outrageous assault on Christian liberty have been arrested. Minnesota has a statute, 60928, interfering with religious observance, and that makes it a gross misdemeanor if they intentionally and physically obstruct any individual's access to a religious establishment or interfere with worship activities. This includes disrupting a religious observance. But the Minnesota police are being told to stand down, to ignore this egregious effrontery of the laws of Minnesota. These protesters also are guilty of disorderly conduct, statute 60972, which prohibits disturbing an assembly or a meeting, specifically including a religious service, and can be a misdemeanor if someone intentionally causes alarm, anger, or disturbance. Criminal trespass can be charged if the invaders were told to leave and refused. Now, all of this is documented in my notes. In addition to state law, federal laws also apply. FACE is being used. That's the Freedom of Access to a Clinic Entrance Act, FACE. Surprisingly to some, this includes a provision that makes it a crime to intentionally injure, intimidate, or interfere with someone's exercise of religious freedom at a place of worship. Clearly, they violated this. Curious, you know, isn't it, that protecting a baby murderer's right to access an abortion clinic is in the same law that protects access to religious worship. Huh. Make of that what you will. It's true, though, that some abortionists equate the right to kill a baby in the womb with the right to worship God, believe it or not. Anyway, Anyone who argues that the First Amendment guarantees the right to violate the First Amendment of others is a macaroon. Don Lemon, you are, as Bugs Bunny would say, a macaroon. But it's not funny. You have a friend protecting you from the law at present, a magistrate, which is a low-level court functionary that handles preliminary matters like arrest warrants and so on. You know, I heard it put this way, that they take care of what amounts to legal clerk work and empty the trash. the judge that refused to sign Don Lemon's arrest warrant happens to be married to a gal who works as an assistant attorney general in the office of Minnesota's Attorney General Keith Ellison. Now, Keith Ellison is accused of obstructing ICE and is likely to face charges for, quote, actions or communications that may have impeded or conflicted with federal enforcement activities, end quote. Now, Keith has been subpoenaed, along with Governor Tampon Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Frey, to answer questions about their roles in obstructing federal officers in the execution of their enforcement duties. Huh. It seems to me like this interference by the husband of an assistant attorney general in the attorney general's office, well, that just might come up. What do you think? Our evangelist to our capital in Sacramento, Brock Campbell, informed me of his plan to advocate for the strengthening of California's law that provides protection for worshipers in our state. He provided the code as it's found right now in Article 1, Declaration of Rights, Section 4, quote 302A, every person who intentionally disturbs or disquiets any assemblage of people met for religious worship at a tax-exempt place of worship by profane discourse, rude or indecent behavior, or by any unnecessary noise, either within the place where the meeting is held or so near it as to disturb the order and solemnity of the meeting, is guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by a fine not exceeding $1,000 or by imprisonment in a county jail for a period not exceeding 1 year or by both that fine and imprisonment, end quote. And by the way, any assembly organized for worship qualifies with or without 501c status. Okay, just so you know. Anyone would do well to reflect on the greater judge and his disposition regarding the church that God purchased with his own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. Saul, who was later called Paul the Apostle, was hailed by the judge of all the earth and the prince of the kings of the earth, whose name is Jesus, on the road to Damascus, and challenged Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts 9. Saul asked, who art thou, Lord? And he received the answer, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So that's who you're messing with, folks. That's who you're assaulting with your vile harangue and empty accusations. Paul was acting in protest, by the way, against these Christians. Huh. You say, well, Saul was hailing Christians before the magistrates, beating them, imprisoning them, and even killing them. Well, that's true. But exactly how does that change the point regarding whom you are acting against when you assault an assembly of the ecclesia? Anyway, I'm sure Jesus will take all of that into consideration when you face him for your assault against an embassy of the ecclesia of the kingdom of God. Herod tried to meddle with the church, killed James and imprisoned Peter, intending to do the same to him. The angel of the Lord intervened in response to the prayers of the ecclesia, the church, and freed Peter. I notice that the Spirit of Christ did not ask Herod's permission to release Peter, nor did he move the heart of the king to release him. He simply walked him out. And when Peter realized he was not dreaming, but that God's angel had freed him, he did not honor Herod's authority by returning to his imprisonment. Instead, he went to prayer meeting, where you ought to be. After all this, Herod still didn't get it. He did not read, or if he did, he didn't heed the memo God sent to earth's kings through Nebuchadnezzar, saying God rules over the kingdoms of men, Daniel 4, gives it to whoever he will, or the law of kings given to us through the premier king raised up by God among men, David, who said, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling the fear of God, 2 Samuel 23:3. Herod ignored the message of Paul in Ephesians 2:21, saying Jesus has been exalted above every ruler in the world, both now, in the world that now is, and in the world to come. He refused the testimony of John the Apostle, declaring Jesus to be Prince of the Kings of the Earth, Revelation 1:5. So when the fools of Tyre hailed him as God, He failed to give God the glory, and the angel of the Lord smote him so that he was eaten by worms and died. True, the Lord's church has grieved and in many quarters quenched the Spirit of the Lord. And so, yeah, she's weak today in power and in authority. Nevertheless, she continues to be the church of God bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this ecclesia, Lighthouse Baptist, will at 5 p.m. this Sunday evening assemble with the head of the church, Jesus Christ, and petition the throne of the Almighty that his angel will put down this evil rebellion against the embassy of Christ's kingdom quickly and decisively. Let's begin the wrap of our time together today for this show. Please come out to the Lighthouse this Sunday and join us. Probably the most significant blow against Nimrod's globalist agenda is the recent strengthening of the right of the consent of the governed through the passing of the SAVE Act. Political power comes from God, but a government gets its power from the consent of the governed. That's a biblical principle, and it's always true, that the only way tyrants gain and hold power is through the consent of the people. Consent's the key. This is a secret ayatollahs and other dictators like Xi and so on don't, and you know, that guy in North Korea, they don't want people to ever figure out. Once the masses of the people rise up and demand freedom and liberty, it's game over for the dictators. They use every means possible to discourage the people from rising up, and people who are willing to trade liberty away for comfort and so on, or to protect themselves, well, they deserve to be taken over by their government because they've traded God for government to rule them. Once the people are willing to say, give me liberty or give me death, it's game over for tyrants. The people of Iran and China will continue to live under oppression so long as they consent to the bullying and oppression that is also true in Cuba, North Korea, everywhere else that this God-hating system of Marxist ideology has taken root. You cannot free a people who are not ready to be free, who will not say, give me liberty or give me death. All you're going to do is deliver them to the oppression of a new tyrant. Gotta go. God bless. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. brainmassage.net, find the contact us button, click and send your email to me. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. That's 1-805-314-2114. One more time, 1-805-314-2114. Give me a call or send me an email. Come see me in church. God bless you. God bless America. I hope to see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m. Go to God's War 2020.com.